Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Big show coming up here tonight. We still got 2 hours of the Download. Looking forward to the 10 o'clock hour. Ezra Furman performing live in studio. Well, it's time now for Industry Night, our Monday night segment where we talk food and beverage. Great chefs, bartenders, club promoters, those making great product in Chicago. And, of course, that includes beer. It was just announced that Goose Island is creating a new beer for Wrigley Field. It's called 1060 Wit. And it's going to be available at the park starting this season. If you've been to Wrigley in the last couple of years, you've seen more and more Goose Island product. The Chicago company has become the granddaddy of the craft beer scene. Goose Island has cemented its place in the Chicago community, but also represents Chicago to the world with beers like 312, Goose IPA, and Bourbon County Stout. But the market's a lot tighter than it used to be with other Chicago beer companies giving chase. But Goose perseveres, partly because of their deal with Budweiser, but also because they're constantly innovating, coming up with new beers in Chicago and for the overall marketplace. In studio with me tonight, one of the men responsible for creating new brews, Mike Siegel, is the brewing R&D manager for Goose Island, and he joins me now. Mike, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about 1060 Wit. I mean, for you guys, I mean, you could put 312 on tap at Wrigley Field, and I don't think people are going to notice the difference. They just are drinking beer.
Yeah, of course.
How important is it for you guys to innovate and put new product in the park?
Well, we wanted to, and we've got quite a few beers in there now, IPA, Green Line. So we just wanted to do something different, and this is exclusive beer for Wrigley Field. It's decidedly not a Cubs beer because we want the visiting fans to drink it as well. savvy there, but a collaboration with Wrigley Field to bring something new. It's going to be draft only, and something that'll be should be available around the ballpark.
And what kind of beer is it?
A wit, and it's something that, you know, I kept on asking myself as far as the average, not the average craft beer drinker, but the average baseball fan going to Wrigley Field, do they know what a wit is? And it's white. It means white in Flemish. So it's Belgian beers are a huge inspiration for us, for Goose Island. So it's something that, in a wit, you know, you've got something like a Hoegaarden, would be the classic example. They're great summer drinkers. Like, what do you want to drink at the ballpark on a hot day? Right?
Yeah, you see that. And most of the time you see that represented in some of the offerings that are the craft beer offerings, like Allagash, things like that. Right. Let me ask you, I mean, is this the first foray into wits for Goose Island? I don't think of the white beer when I think of Goose Island.
No, I mean, the first in quite a long time. Given we've been around for 29 years, we've dabbled in just about everything. But I'm coming up on 5.5 years. We haven't done a wit out of Fulton, the production brewery, the one in the near west side right by United Center. Of course, the brew pub at Clybourne is brewing a new beer every week, so... Right. They've brewed a wit.
Let me ask you. I mean, it's funny. You said 29 years, and I think of Goose Island. And let's go through a quick history lesson because this, your company, I mean, the company you work for, I think about it when I was just talking to Pete about the idea that, okay, you know, when I was younger, when I was 21 years old, Goose Island was the specialty. That was the, you would go through all the beers and be like, what's the red one down there?
Sure.
You know? It's Honker's Ale. Oh, I'll try it. And to where it is now, where you walk into a bar and they're like, "Hey, what do you want? I'll just whatever you got in Goose." I mean, talk about that the idea, the history that you guys have gone from the craft beer to really the big player on the block.
Sure, So Goose started in 1988. Like I said, 29 years. That was a brew pub back in a time when the beer landscape was nationally, not just in Chicago, was basically mass lager. You know, big, you know, fizzy lager. And John Hall started the company, inspired by his trips to Europe, wanted to bring back, you know, English style ale. Why can't I get something that's really full flavor, an all malt beer, full flavor, maybe some hop character, or a Czech lager, or German pils. So it started there. 95 is when the production plant opened. So when I say production brewery, it's, you know, where you bottle and you keg.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You're not just a brew pub anymore. You're serving your community at large. And at the time, it was the only production brewery in Chicago proper, and I think until about 2007. So if you wanted to be a brewer and make a living as a brewer in the city limits, there were a couple brew pubs and then one production brewery for a very long time. But in the last 10 years, as you said, it's a lot's changed. And that's a great thing. We've had a lot of brewers go on to open up breweries in Chicagoland area or become a head brewer at local breweries. So it's a great opportunity for brewers. It's great for beer drinkers, you know, because first and foremost, we're beer lovers. So I like variety when I go out. I like to go to a place. I mean, you think, I think Greg Hall told me that Sheffield's over by Wrigley, the bar was the first beer list, right? Meaning it was this revolutionary thing in like 1991 to actually list out which beers you had.
Right,
we think now
right.
we just go into anywhere, any restaurant.
It's like it's foreign bar, to not have that.
Yeah.
Right?
So you walk into a place and you'd say, you know, can I see your beer list? Oh, no problem. You know, and they probably got 10 to 30 draft. They've probably got a range of bottles and cans. That you know, the younger generation may take. I just turned 40. The younger generation may take that for granted, but I certainly don't. There were very few options 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the landscape as it is now. I mean, a lot of, like you mentioned, a lot of brewers that come through Goose Island, they move on, they start their own craft beer here in town, elsewhere. But the idea that Chicago has really become a popular destination for craft beer makers. I mean, for companies, the star companies, we have them here on the show,
yep.
or just the idea that you can, you know, this seems to be becoming an American capital, if you will, for craft beer. Goose Island, how do you keep innovating and keep moving forward as a company when there is attrition like that? When there are a lot of brewers who are like, I want to start my own company. People that you've recruited from the get go to come in and be part of the company.
Sure, and if somebody's going to, you know, in a certain case, if somebody's got plans to open up their own brewery, you're not going to stop them. It's just what we had to. We had an attrition about 3 years ago where we lost 50% of our shift brewing staff in about a 6-week period.
Wow.
Which was, it really hurt us, as you could imagine, because these are the people on shift 24/7. We run 24/7. And they went to other breweries that were opening up or expanding in Chicago. So you're losing brewers locally. You know, if somebody wants to go live in Seattle and brew in Seattle, okay, they're gone. If somebody wants to start their brewery in Chicago, they're gone. But if somebody goes to work another shift brewing job in Chicago, we had to look at ourselves in that period 3.5 to 4 years ago and go and say, we need to retain brewers. We need to staff up, get trained up, and that takes a very long time. But how do we retain
right.
good brewing talent? Because I think for me, if I look at consumers, and I interact with consumers quite a bit, their idols are brewers, right? And so I hope they're concerned how their brewers are taken care of. And I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to say that brewers weren't taken care of more than 4 years ago at Goose Island. I think they were compensated fairly, just like in line with any brewery. But I think we have to bend over backwards now and say, you know what? Yes, you're going to be working a shift. You're going to be dragging hoses and dragging pumps around, cleaning tanks. But what's the other element there? It's the creative side.
Right.
It's the creative side. Most brewers these days, young brewers, are coming to breweries with the expectation like, hey, I want to write recipes. I want my chance to make the next.
That's
great
interesting
beer.
Because I mean, Goose Island, as the sort of, like I said, the granddaddy of the craft beer scene here, you've got product
yeah.
in the way that you can. I mean, I can go down the line. You got bottles in front of you right now, but yeah. 312 Honkers, Goose IPA, Bourbon County Stout, Sophie, Matilda. I mean, you have tried and true product that people want. Yeah. How do you promise creativity to brewers coming in when you're at the point where you have stuff that you just need to mass produce?
Well, what do we put out? Probably 50 beers in production. Now we've got a tap room. So the last 2 years we've had a tap room at the brewery on okay. Fulton Street and a small R&D plant. Or R&D brewery. So 2 barrels at a time. So it's, you know, 62 gallons. So relatively small batches. And so those can be made independent of the big brewery. So we can basically run a small brewery
okay.
within the big brewery. It doesn't affect production of stuff like Green Line or Sophie, Matilda, those Bourbon County Stout, which we're brewing all the time. Those beers go on. Here we can brew
independent.
You can
be creative, right.
Be creative. And take out the safety net a little bit and just go wild. You know, there's no promises that this beer is going to be served in the tap room, but if it achieves a certain quality is always first. It goes through taste panel, just like any beer, gets approved. Okay, you know, 6 out of 6 agree this should be served in the tap room. Then that beer will move on. It'll graduate, go to the tap room, and this again, that's just on site at the brewery. And then occasionally, and again, there's no promises, but occasionally things graduate even further and becomes maybe the next local beer, local draft-only beer. We launch a lot of beers draft-only first. As they say, the bar trade, that volume really kind of dictates if something's going to catch on, and then you'd see it in a package maybe a year later or something.
Mike Siegel is the brewing R&D manager for Goose Island Brewery here in Chicago, Goose Island Beer. I, you know, as you talk about this, and it's interesting because I don't know a lot about brewing, and I don't know a lot about the competition. I know that there's a lot of different beers that have popped up in the last 2-3 years in Chicago. Let me ask you, I mean, how so brewers come in, they want to be creative. But you guys, you have a certain, you know, thing that you want to put out. You know, you're sure. Goose Island, you're different. Talk about, you know, there's so many different kinds of beers that'll come out. Whether it's a sour beer, you talked about wit beer, you talked to, you know, it could be the next thing that, that people are interested in.
Yeah.
How do you not just sort of jump after every trend like when you're as big as Goose Island, especially when some of the more flexible breweries, the smaller craft beers can.
I think we take an approach of what do we want to do, and I think these days, as anyone who looks through a Binnie's or any retailer that's selling a lot of craft beer, you can almost see these waves coming. You know, maybe it's a Goza, which is a slightly salty, sour German style beer that was almost unheard of 10 years ago, and now it's quite popular. Let's do a fruited Goza. Let's do a fruited IPA. Let's do let's do a hard root beer. You can see these things happening in real time. And we're fortunate enough where we don't have to. We've got some very good selling beers that do well for us and allows us to make some beers that are more passion projects. At the end of the day, we're a business, right? We're not a charity. We do need to sell beer. But when we've got beers like a Goose IPA that's selling just gangbusters nationally, that allows us to have a little bit more freedom to play. We don't have to chase trends. Even though we're owned by Anheuser-Busch, we operate under our own profit and loss, right? And a lot of people may snicker at that, but it is really true. We've got our own company within this much larger company.
I think of breweries and craft beer. I mean, I guess it's not unlike music in the way that when you say people snicker at it, it's because you're on a major label.
Sure.
you're like
Flaming Lips on Warner Brothers.
Right, you know, exactly. Where there's a lot of indies in Chicago that say, hey, we're independent. How do you deal with that? Because you guys paved the way for a lot of those indies.
Yeah, it's I think when people talk about independence, I say, you know what? I support local businesses that are independent. We aren't independent. I can't give you that. But I'm going to tell you, as I talked about earlier, we take care of our brewers more than we ever have in the company's history, I believe. And that, I believe, should be important to people. That's kind of my mantra these days is we want our brewers to be not only compensated, you know, above fairly, 401k, PTO, all that stuff, great. But again, the creative side that allows them to come in, and not everybody's an expert recipe writer, you know, coming out of the gate. They may think they are, but we've got, led by our brewmaster, Jerry Jankowski, who's both an excellent blend of technical brewer and creative brewer. And then we've got a staff. I had to write it down. I'm going to get a post-it note out. When I started 5.5 years ago as a shift brewer, we had 12 shift brewers, 2 leads, and 1 brewmaster. Now we have 26 shift brewers, 3 leads, 1 head brewer, 1 R&D manager, me, and 1 brewmaster.
Wow.
So at the staff of 32, we had, what did I just add up before, about 14 or 15 5 years ago. So investment in people means, you know what, we care about the people, and I think that hopefully that shows.
One more question for you, and we'll wrap up here. I'm interested. Do you feel that you've been able to expand because there is more of an audience or more of a consumer base for craft beer, or is it the cart before the horse? I mean, did you guys create that audience in the way that I think of some of the craft beer, businesses of the 90s who sort of brought that on? Talk about that concept, the idea that there are so many more people with the palate for craft beer.
I think, you're seeing it with food, of course, the offerings of, it's not just beer, but people are just intrigued by flavor, right? And, my sister-in-law is at KU in Lawrence, and she turned 21 2 years ago, and me and my wife flew down there. We wanted to take her out for her 21st birthday, and there's a little brew pub in town there called Free State, and I thought I was going to be introducing her to craft beer. And I say, order whatever you want off the menu. She orders, give me the barley wine, the 10% big multi barley wine. I didn't know what a barley wine was, I think, until I was like 25. And she's 20, just turned 21. She already knows what a barley wine
right?
is. And I think that's the difference now than 20 years ago is the exposure. these kids, by the time they're of legal drinking age, they're already drinking the good stuff, and they know the differences of, you know, IPA and a Scotch ale and, you know, whatever, a Goza. And it's fantastic. And it's, you know, of course, education, you know, the internet is great for exposure, ongoing education. But like I said earlier, beer lists, yeah. It's just this, I don't know how exactly we got here, but it's a good thing. We got lots of choice. And, you know, again, as a beer lover, I love it. I think it's great times. It's a lot of fun.
Mike Siegel is the brewing R&D manager for Goose Island. Goose Island's got a new beer at Wrigley Field starting when the home opener, of course. It's called 1060 Wit. Wit being more of a white beer. Mm-hmm. Learning here, Mike. Mike Siegel, I can't thank you enough for coming in and being a guest tonight.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.